With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On its Confirmation Sunday, our hymns are 611, 465, 644, 411, 507, and 646. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled The Conversion of Saul and is taken from Acts 9, verses 1 through 22. Thank you to the family of Phyllis Bradyhoff for sponsoring our broadcast this morning. They are doing this so in honoring remembers Phyllis's wedding date to Joe Bradyhoff, April 23rd, 1955, and in memory of Joe's
good morning. So wonderful to be with all of you here this morning. This is indeed a day of celebration as we thank God for all the work that he has done in our midst and in the lives of our confirmation students. This is indeed a day of celebration as we celebrate the confirmation of faith of our three eighth graders with us this morning. Special welcome to all the guests and visitors we have with us in connection to this joyous moment. And we pray that you can join us again in the future. May we come before God in faith and trusting in his mercy, singing our first hymn, number 611. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. First reading for this Confirmation Sunday comes from the book of Acts, chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures, and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? It's a strange question which we hear from our Savior's lips this morning, and it's a question which, quite honestly, I'm not entirely sure how to understand. Because the these that Jesus refers to, commentators are divided on what these are. Some think that perhaps Jesus is pointing towards the miraculous catch of fish, and that he is pointing as if to Peter's boat. Perhaps Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me more than wealth, more than worldly success, more than your very career and livelihood? Because Peter, as verses 18 and 19 will go on to suggest, you will be martyred. You shall be led captive and crucified. Indeed, you will be stripped of all worldly honor and prestige. And so, three times does Jesus ask Peter, do you love me? Do you know what you are getting yourself into when you follow me? Indeed, you have rejected me three times prior. If you come and follow me, do you know what's going to happen? For don't be like the builder who hasn't counted the costs before he is able to finish. But then there's the second interpretation, and the one which I am actually more inclined to accept. Perhaps Jesus asks the question while pointing to all of the other disciples. Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than how they love me? Honestly, that wouldn't have been such a strange question. For indeed, we remember just how prideful Peter has been in his faith. Lord, though all should forsake you, I will never fall away, Peter says. Even if all fall away, Lord, I never will. There was a time when Peter saw his faith as if immovable, unmatched. He saw himself as perfectly steadfast, pure, and unwavering in his devotion. Nothing could ever make him stumble or fall. But such doesn't seem to be his attitude anymore, for he has sensed to see the weakness of his flesh. Indeed, though the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And having denied his Lord three times, even with curses, Peter is now confronted with his limitations. Peter has been humbled, for he has seen his sin. In his reply, Peter finds himself forced to leave out that phrase, more than these. For he says simply, and no more, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Three times, Jesus asks Peter. For three times, did he deny him? And as the question is asked the third time, Peter is now struck to his heart as he recalls his failures. His denial is there brought to the forefront of his mind. Yet we ought to notice where Peter seems to find comfort in all of this. For he finds comfort in the omniscience of Christ. He confesses in verse 17, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Lord, you know that, of course, I fail. You know perfectly well that there is an old nature within me which continues to war in my heart. You know that at times I deny you. You know that I mess up, that I sin, that sometimes I shamefully reject you and your ways. Yes, Lord, you know all things about me. But still, that is where my hope lies. For Lord, you know all things. For you know also that there lies a new nature within me. For indeed, it was you who has put it in there. Though the old nature wars against me at times and it causes me to stumble, yet, gracious Lord, you know that I belong to you. If there is but a grain of faith within me, you shall know it altogether. And dear friends, if there is a mustard seed-sized faith in your heart, the Lord shall spot it out, and he shall know it completely. If there is a faith like a smoldering wick, the Lord will indeed see the ember which lies underneath. For yes, Jesus knows all things. And he knows that through Christ, through his death, we belong to him. He knows that we belong to him, separating the wheat from the chaff. He knows who has faith, for it is the Lord who continues to pour out faith in the hearts of his people. And so he responds what I believe is music to Peter's ears. Feed my sheep. Yes, I know that you have been like a prodigal son running away from me. But know this, Peter, that not even the prodigal could seem to gamble away his sonship with the Father. Return unto me, and I shall restore you. I know you stumble and fall, Jesus seems to say. But still, I have chosen you to be my servant. I want you to be my disciple and close friend. See my great love for you that covers a whole multitude of sins. Return and follow me. Tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. And carry my truth to the ends of the world. This morning, dear friends, we celebrate the confirmation of three sisters in the faith. For as Jesus once called Peter to tend and feed God's sheep, so has the church of God continued to be called to feed and tend God's flock today. It's been well said that it takes a village to raise a child. And certainly, dear friends, it takes an entire church of God, the whole body of Christ, working together to raise a child of God. And indeed takes more than just the parents, although being the father and mother certainly the most important influence and teachers of their lives. And yet it also takes much more than just a pastor. It takes much more than just the Sunday school teachers and the board of education. It takes more than the elders and more than any other church office. For truly it does take the entire church of Christ coming together in prayer as we continue lifting before God's throne those in our midst whom we so earnestly desire for their salvation. It takes the body of Christ acting together in unity, loving and supporting one another in love and good works. It takes the encouraging words of brothers and sisters, the generous hands of the saints, the care and devotion of the entire body of Christ. We are all called in Christ's service to tend and feed his sheep. It's sad how American Christianity today so often sees themselves as if we are saved to be islands unto ourselves. We are so often convinced to see our relationship with Christ as if it is nobody's business but our own. As if my faith belongs to me and God and nobody else. Rather than how Christ describes our faith. For rather, he says, being saved, we are brought into the church, brought into a family of believers, brought into the flock of God, brought into the body of Christ, where he says, if one member suffers, we all suffer. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, Paul says. As the Lord has called Peter, so he has called all of us to tend and feed. Yes, I know all things, Jesus says. I know your struggles and your limitations. I know both your strengths and your weaknesses. I know your failures and your propensity to wander. I know you, and yet still do I love you. Again, see that love, which covers a multitude of sins. For you are mine, and I have bought you with a price. And I have worked the forgiveness of sins and salvation through my sacrificial death on the cross. Yes, dear friends, truly does the Lord call each of us to tend and feed one another. And truly does he know us completely. As we look now to the calling of the Apostle Paul this morning, there's really only one major theme that I want to pull from our Acts reading. And in fact, it is the same theme that we had just heard before, that God knows all things. I love reading in verse 11 how God appears to a man named Ananias, saying, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, to the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying." It is so fun to see everything that the Lord knows about Saul. He knows what street he's on, the street called Straight. He knows whose house he's in, the house of Judas. He knows where Saul came from, a man of Tarsus. He, of course, knows Saul's name, named Saul. And he knows exactly what he is doing. For behold, he is praying. Dear friends, what does the Lord not know about his people? After such an extensive description of Saul, I'm surprised that the Lord doesn't seem to just go on. Because surely that wasn't the exhaust of his knowledge either. He could have easily included much more. He could have said not only was his name Saul, but how many hairs were on his head. No more and no less. He knows when he gets up and when he lies down. He knows he's been lying down for 3 days. In fact, he knows to the second how long he has been there. The Lord knows that he has been struggling with blindness and in this particular trial for so many hours. The Lord could have easily have given an exhaustive account of Saul. And yet I find it so beautiful that of all of these details, dear friends, he calls our attention specifically to one detail in particular. For behold, he is praying. The divine ear of heaven listens in, and the Lord Almighty hears the prayers of this chief of sinners. Saul's groans have gone up to heaven, and his prayers pull on God's heartstrings. The pleas of mercy from this wretched sinner has grabbed the attention of the infinite God over all. He who rules all things now focuses his eyes intently upon this one sinner who has called upon him in prayer. Beloved in the Lord, it is a beautiful thing to be known by God. And it's a glorious truth to know that our prayers have the power to grab hold of the Father's attention. Our cries indeed ring through his ears, and they touch his heart as they move him to compassion and mercy. Such a tender Father is he that even our tears, he says, he gathers up and keeps in bottles. And yet when we look at what Christ has done for his saints, It's no wonder that the Lord should hear their cries. For we notice last of all in verse 4, Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" If you look at the context, you would see very clearly how Saul is, of course, persecuting Christians. He's quite obviously persecuting the church. And yet, is it not true, as we hinted out earlier, that it is the church which is the body of Christ? Of course, the Lord sees an attack on the church as if it were an attack on himself. When his people are being persecuted, he is so perfectly united with them through love and faith that he sees it as if it were an attack on his own very body. Truly, as Paul will say in the epistle readings, that we are members of his mystical body. In fact, as God's people, we are so united with Christ that Scripture fails to find an adequate metaphor to describe it. Are we his servants, as some passages suggest? Are we his sons or daughters? Are we to him as chicks are to a hen? Are we to him subjects to a king? Or perhaps maybe we are sheep of a shepherd, or like a bride belonging to a husband. But dear friends, here in another sense, we are likened to God as if we are members of his very body. He has brought us into his church, and he has redeemed us and made us one with himself. In baptism, dear friends, we are told that we are baptized into Christ. We are washed clean from sin and guilt, and we are united with the Lord. In fact, we are not just united with him, but surely we are united into him. His death, which he died according to sin, we have died in him. In Christ, with him as our covenant head, we have died to sin, and we have been raised to eternal life, just as he has on our behalf. As Christ's bones, we are told, were left unbroken on the cross, so must the bones of his mystical body remain forever unbroken as well. Those who belong to him, who he has called since before the foundations of the world, must remain in him, unbroken for all eternity. Those who belong to him, he has atoned completely of their sins. And through faith, dear friends, he has paid the penalty of our sin, taking upon himself as members of his own body. Indeed, the Lord knows us inside and out. And in deep love, he has given himself to die for you and to become your substitute on the cross. And dear friends, at this time, we now prepare to rejoice with our three sisters in the faith who now seek to be confirmed in this faith this morning. This past Wednesday, those of us who are here were privileged to hear them as they made a public declaration of their faith. And upon further questioning, they also gave a fuller explanation and a defense of that faith which they hold and confess before us this morning. And indeed, as they come forward to confess their faith before us, as they confess the grace and hope and love that God has indeed poured into their hearts, may we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as members of Christ's body with them, may we rejoice with them and rejoice over them this morning. And as Christ has called us, dear friends, to feed and tend his sheep, may we celebrate now the fruition of our labors. May we rejoice and be glad concerning his gracious work, which the Lord has done through us and through his word and the lives of these children. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the three of you forward, just to stand in front of the railing there. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Madison, Ashton, and Andrea now stand before you this morning, having been baptized into this Christian faith, and in following the Lord's command, they have further been instructed in the official teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. These three stand before you today to confess before this congregation their faith and of their desire to participate in the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." So Madison, Ashton, and Andrea, I ask you to lift up your hearts and confess with your mouth the faith which you today believe. And may you joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of our Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God has given you in your baptism?
Yes.
Do you renounce the devil, his works, and all of his ways?
Yes, I renounce.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Died and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from the Scriptures as you have learned to know it from the Small Catechism, to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the Word of God and to receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even unto death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of our Lord. You have confessed the faith and been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and to receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun this good work within you, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the families also forward, of these three, to join them. We're going to kneel one at a time. Madison, I guess we'll... If you want to lay your hands on her, we're going to be praying for Madison. Madison, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and who has forgiven you all of your sins, may he strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Madison, your confirmation verse that you chose is 1 Timothy 4:12. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. May the good Lord continue to open your eyes of faith so that you may continue to grow in understanding, love, faith, and in good works. As you continue to follow Christ, may your conduct be an example to all, and may your life bear witness to the work of God's grace within your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Andrew, if you would kneel. Andrew, of the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and who has forgiven you all of your sins, may he strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Andrew, your confirmation verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. May the good shepherd and shepherd of your soul continue to lead you always. As you continue to live in this world, may you always find your hope and joy in him. And as he fights for you and protects you, may you always look beyond to the day when you shall live with him forever in eternal paradise. And until that day, may you rest in knowing the love of God and receiving his promises through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And Ashton, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and who has forgiven you all of your sins, may he strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. And Ashton, your confirmation verse, which you chose, is Psalm 46:5. God is within her, she will not fall. May the mighty and sovereign Lord work his Spirit within you, and may he give you strength, life, and bold confidence to stand firm in this faith. Through the indwelling of God's Spirit, may he strengthen you to resist the attacks of the world and of Satan. And as you look to God for strength, may you always find it in Jesus, who shed his blood for you and who is with you always, even to the end of the age. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we show our appreciation to God and thank him for his many blessings that he continues to do in our midst? And at this time, I would like to invite you to stand and join me in a word of prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your children, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we glorify your holy name, asking that you would enable them, both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that they may continue steadfast and victorious, work in them to produce the fruits of faith unto the day when you call them home, where they will rejoice in you having fought the good fight of faith and receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And gracious God, you are indeed the Lord of the church, and you are the God of the harvest. We praise you for continuing to work in our midst, creating faith and sustaining your people to everlasting life. We ask that as your church and as your people, we would continue steadfast in our calling. Lead us in joy to join you in your mission. Lead us to feed your lambs and tend your flock with all joy, hope, faith, and confidence. Use us as instruments to spread your gospel truth to the world and to our communities. And we ask that you would lead us to plant and to water as we carry your word always on our hearts and lips. And bless our efforts for your name's sake, bringing the spiritual growth in the lives of your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy Lord, we ask that you would lead each of us to see our calling and purpose as your chosen people. Lead each of us who belong to you to see ourselves as belonging to one another in love and service. Lead us to fulfill your command to love one another as Christ has loved us. As we come together for worship, Lord, help us to see the mystical body of your Son. Open our eyes to see that we are brought together in unity into one church, one body, and one faith. And may we continue to work in hope and faith for the well-being of the body of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And faithful God, we lift before you all parents, and especially those who are in our midst. Continue to pour out your Spirit upon them, that they may continue to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lead them also to set an example to their children of the true worth of prayer, of reading your word, and of living a life of faith. And we ask that you would guide all of us also to so live in a manner that bears witness to the faith that you have put within us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all knowledge and truth, we praise your name for being so full of love and compassion. Though you know us inside and out, and though you know our sin and every thought and intention of our heart, yet you still desire to call us friends. And more than that, Lord, you have called us as sons and daughters, your bride and as the church, and as members of your own body. We ask that you would be with us to live in this glorious truth. Lead us to rejoice always, for indeed you have given us a perpetual reason for rejoicing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, we lift before you all who are on our prayer list this morning, all who are on our hearts and minds, and everyone who we now name silently before you in our hearts. Mighty God, as you know all things, nothing has caught you off guard. You have foreseen all calamities, and nothing has occurred that you have not allowed or ordained. We ask that you would be with us and those who are suffering in mind, body, and spirit, that they would know indeed that you are good. We ask that you would work through these trials so that all these, your people, may cling ever more tightly to you. In the midst of the darkness, may they look to you for light and salvation, and lead all your people to know more what is the depth and width and height and breadth of your amazing love, and help us to taste and see that you are good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And at this time, we worship God with our offerings. You may be seated. please stand? Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain, yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but set him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.